I finally figured out why Chris likes Jesse Blemons so much.
Why?
Because he is the trailer court Matt Damon.
It's a show by Chris and Neil with all great movies. They are the real deal. We watch them all, so you don't have to. It's movies that don't suck and some that do.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is a new episode of Movies Don't Suck and Some Do. My name is Neil.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm not going to lie, I got these new earphones.
Yeah.
I can hear myself too much. I need to put those on, but I'm not going to. Yeah. I'm just going to dive through it. I'm just going to deal with it. But anyway, today we are going to be reviewing, count them, not one, but two movies out there in the good old land of cinematography.
What's the first movie we're talking about?
First movie we were talking about is the one, the only, Drive Away Dolls. Drive Away Dolls is featuring the one, the only, Margaret Qualley.
Qualley.
So you used to make westerns at the ranch back in the old timey days?
Well, if by the old timey days you mean television 8 years ago, yeah.
Are you an actor?
No, I'm a stuntman.
Stuntman? That's way better.
Why is that way better?
Actors are phony.
Oh.
They just say lines that other people write and pretend to murder people on their stupid TV shows. Meanwhile, real people are being murdered every day in Vietnam.
So that's from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So she puts her foot up on that.
I know. I was like, that's the one I have to grab. That has to be the one, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
All right. Also in this movie is Geraldine Viswanathan.
Yes.
Back him up, Lucas John.
That was amazing. God, I've been married to Todd for so long, I forgot sex is supposed to feel good.
These have been the happiest days of my life. It's so strange. I know the Bible says what we're doing is a sin, but everything about it feels so right.
Maybe it is right. I mean, we're both trapped in bad relationships. Once we get to Oregon, we'll come clean to our partners and start our new life together.
So that's a she's actually talking to Harry Potter himself in that one.
Yeah, by any means, the Harry Potter, Mr. Daniel Radcliffe. That's one of my favorite shows, Miracle Workers. If you have not seen Miracle Workers, guys, go find it. Go find
TBS
it.
TBS has great some movie. Good shit, man. TBS has some good shit. So.
Dude, I know, right? Also in this movie, Beanie Fledstein.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Let's go to Nick's party.
Are you kidding? No, no way.
We only have one night left to have studied and partied in high school. Otherwise, we're just going to be the girls that missed out. We haven't done anything. We haven't broken any rules.
Okay. We've broken a lot of rules. One, we have fake IDs.
Fake college IDs so we can get into their 24-hour library.
Name one person whose life was so much better because they broke a couple of rules.
Picasso.
Yes, he broke art rules. Name a person who broke a real rule.
Rosa Parks.
Name another
Susan
one.
Susan B. Anthony.
God damn it.
That's from Booksmart.
I know, right? I love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies. Also in this movie, the one, the only, the man that we love so much that I think I have a poster of him on that wall right there. Mr. Pedro Pascal.
Okay. You just run out there. You get the truck. You come back and get me. I will keep a lookout.
Love it. Love the plan. But maybe you should go and I'll stay here.
I love that plan. I do. But you are a faster runner than me. I saw how fast you were in National Treasure.
No, that'd be the stunt department.
Not according to the making of featurette.
Wait.
So you're gonna go? I'm going with you.
That's from the unbearable weight of massive talent. So,
unbearable weight of massive talent.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great one.
That's great. And the one, the only, the man that Chris would have a man crush on if Jesse Blemons didn't exist.
That's true.
Matt Damon.
Job done.
Does it?
Really? Get the job done? All right. Say you wake up tomorrow morning and, hypothetically, find some fresh shit on your face. Your cheek, maybe a little bit in the beard.
What the hell? I'm about to be fucking
what do you
sick.
Do, what do you do? Do you go to a bathroom and tear off a piece of dry tissue and rub it around on your beard a little bit and then go on, get on with your day? Go to church, maybe dinner and a movie like nothing happened?
Where is this coming from,
man? Something did happen. Your face smells like shit, right? So what you would do is you would get some soap, you get some hot water, and you would scrub the fucking shit out of your beard for like 10 straight minutes.
Are you trying
could not
to
scrub it enough.
Make me feel disgusting. I'm starting to feel.
Toilet paper is plenty fine appetizer, but then Huggies Natural Care Wet Wipes. That's your main course. They're soft, they're moist, they're for babies.
So, yeah, that's from Deadpool 2. So,
That's one of my favorite. I don't know why I picked that.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Man. That's a funny one.
Out of all the Matt Damon clips I could pick, I picked the one where he's talking about.
It's funny, man. Good job. What's the other movie?
All right. The second movie that we're going to be going through today is the one Civil War. This is a movie that is making a lot of controversy out there in the good old movie world. I know, right? We'll talk about that when we get to it. First, the one, the only, the man I love. And I've been using Park and Rex for about 3 decades now, I think, for him. So I finally picked something from a different show. Actually, me and my wife's favorite show, my cartoon show to watch, The Great White North, Mr. Nick Offerman.
Everybody stuff up with carbs and meats, because it's going to be a real nippy Nora for the birthday boat party.
Just how we Tobins like it.
That's right, son. From the day we chew ourselves off our mother's umbilical cord to the day a wild animal eats us, we are fighters, born to wrestle nature itself into submission year after glorious year.
My God, this man can give a toast.
So that, yeah, so you're using the Growing Earth, but you picked a character that's in the movie for maybe 4 minutes at the most. That's who you lead off with?
It's Nick Offerman, man.
Okay, fine. Who else in this movie?
And, all right. And you know why?
Why?
One of the main guys in this movie is good old Wagner Moreau. All right?
Yeah. Hey.
He's the guy that's part of the trio, the main part of the movie, right?
You mean cool. Pedro Pascal?
Go find somewhere where he speaks more than 10, no, even more than 5 seconds in English.
He's mostly
go find anything.
He's on Narcos, right? He did Narcos, but yeah, it's hard.
He did Narcos all in Spanish. Yeah. I watch 90% of Narcos. like everything he did in it, at least.
But here's why.
To try to find. But anyway, also in this movie, the wonderful, the beautiful, the amazing, she's the first Mary Jane in all our hearts, Kristen Dunst.
You're an artist, man. Your job is to break through barriers, not accept blame and bow and say, thank you, I'm a loser, I'll go away now. Oh, Phil's mean to me. Wah, wah, wah. So what?
I don't cry.
You want to be really great? Then have the courage to fail big and stick around. Make them wonder why you're still smiling. That's true greatness to me.
That's from Elizabethtown, right?
Yes. Okay. It is a beautiful movie. Very beautiful, fun movie. Mm-hmm. Also in this, being basically the co-star of this movie, I'd say, Kaylee Spani.
I don't go imagining things.
Like Aunt Margaret? Scooby?
That's it, woman. I don't want to hear another word.
Well, is there something you're hiding?
I don't have a goddamn thing to hide. You're just being too goddamn aggressive and demanding. You know, I think you should go see your parents for a little while.
What? Well, I'm not going!
That's from Priscilla earlier this year.
I know.
Year. I saw that. So it's sad.
All right. Also in this movie is Wagner Moreau.
Hey. Out of interest, but are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
Oh, sure. But we just try to stay out.
Stay out.
With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Yeah.
Well, let me know if you want to try anything on.
Yeah, from Civil War.
Yeah, because it's the only thing I could find.
Yeah.
And like, after you look for somebody for like 35 minutes, you got to give up. Mm-hmm. And this one I did just for Chris because this guy had less screen time than Nick Offerman. He had less screen time than literally anybody in the fucking movie.
Probably the best part of the movie.
Dude, he's in the movie for like less than 4 minutes.
But it's the zenith of that movie, though. It really is. But,
whatever. He wasn't even supposed to be in the movie. His wife said, hey, I, my husband.
And he just brought the movie up probably half star high for me. But here it is.
But here he is. Good old Jesse Blemons.
Any plans for this evening?
No.
Perhaps a game night? You're just going to stay in, just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Boring.
Mm.
I see. I do hope you keep me in mind for any future game nights.
Well, you bet.
I've always enjoyed the camaraderie of good friends competing in games of chance and skill.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll do that, but tonight's just two of us.
Three bags of Tostito scoops, I notice. There was a special on these tonight. 3 for 1.
3 for 1?
Yep. How can that be profitable for Frito-Lay? These corporations? I don't know what they're doing. Oh, you two enjoy each other. It's often we don't appreciate what we have until it's gone.
That's game night. My favorite scene from that movie.
The creepiest scene in a movie. Like, Jesse played such a creeper.
He's like 28 years old in that, but he's playing someone who's gonna be 40. You know, like.
But anyway, the movie's called Civil War. That's the first movie. Chris, tell everybody where we're at.
We can find us online at moviesdontsuck.net. We're at W2Mnet.com. That's W number 2 is in images and moviesnet.com. You can find us there along with a bunch of other really cool podcasts. We're also on X, MTS Podcast. We're on YouTube. You can find us there too. We're also on Patreon. Patreon.com/moviesdontsuck. We're at bonfire.com. Search Movies Don't Suck. Something new. You'll find merch with our faces on it or our thing. We're also on Instagram at the MTS Podcast. And where do you find podcasts on Movies Don't Suck and some that do? Neil, who are we talking about today?
Today, Chris, we're going to talk about one of the most TV legend places, but it is a locally owned shop. It is not like major. It's not a big fest,
okay.
But I went there and I sat there three times when I was in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And that is going to be the one, the only, that's right, Patty's Pub. Old City. Now, you know Patty's from, of course, the famous TV show, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. This place is just a local pub. Like, it is, you can still smoke in there. Like, as this picture, I sat right next to it. Like, every time we're the bar goes around here. I'll show you a picture of the bar. Where's that? Picture of the bar. The bar is like, it goes around it. That's all it is. That's the whole place. It's not a big place whatsoever. I would sit in that picture of the cast was like right next to me. The guy in the middle is actually their own Mac. They're like literally they have their own Frank. Their own Frank, the guy in the gray shirt.
Yeah.
And by any means, it is just a nice little pub. Oops, wrong picture. It is just a nice little pub in the world. Patty's Pub Old City is one of Philadelphia's favorite neighborhood bars that also happens to be a destination for tourists from around the world who love the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The creators of the show found inspiration in antics and characters of the people that hang out at Patty's. They even have their own Frank. The bar offers a variety of cocktails, bars, on draft, bottles, and cans. Smoking is permitted, and come in and enjoy the bar where it's always sunny. And it is located at the wonderful location of 228 Race Street, Philadelphia. It is like literally right over the river. It is one of the best little spots ever. And to the people there were nice. The people working there were nice. There's old artwork on the building. There's a thing that says, it's right there in the corner, says Patty's Whiskey. And we're like, you got your own whiskey? And they're like, well, it's a company called Patty's. And it just makes whiskey. And so we did shots of Patty's Whiskey at Patty's, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Every time we walked in there, my friend Logan, Every time we walked in here, the first thing he'd be is like, we need 4 Irish car bombs. Every time. Mm-hmm. We went there 3 times. Every time we went in there, Irish car bombs. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, go to Patty's. It is not just a bar and a show. It is a bar that is seriously one of the friendliest group of peoples I ever met, ever, outside of being in a different city.
All right. That's the cool, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And, you know, they told me I could not get naked and hide in the couch. I tried. I wanted to get naked and hide in the couch.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Can't do that. Yeah. And you can't do stuff like that. They said that's people get arrested when they come in naked. So you can't do that. Don't get naked at Patty's. But yeah, let's start with the first movie of the day, and that is Drive Away Dolls.
Yeah, Drive Away Dolls, directed by Ethan Coen, half of the Coen brothers' directing crew. This is his first movie without his brother. If you guys don't know who Ethan Coen is, well, he's done before. Ever heard of Fargo? Ever heard of The Battle of Buster Scruggs? Have you heard of Inside Llewyn Davis, True Grit, fucking Brad Torino, Country for Old Men? That guy. Him is better directed than he directed this one. Written by Ethan Coen and his wife, Trisha Cook. This stars Margaret Qualley as Jamie.
So you used to make westerns at the ranch back in the old timey days.
Also, Geraldine and Vince Nothelman as Marion.
Yeah! Yes! Yes!
Back him up, Lucas John!
That was amazing.
Also, Beanie Feldstein as Suki.
We have to go to a party tonight.
This also stars Joey Slotnick as the goon, C.J. Wilson as the goon, Coleman Domingo as the chief, and hey, Pedro Pascal as penis collector.
Okay, you just run out there, you get the truck, you come back and get me.
Also, Bill Camp as Curly and Matt Damon as Senator Gary Shannon.
Job done.
Does it.
So, Neil, what's the storyline for Driveway Dolls?
Driveway Dolls. This film follows Jamie, an inhabited free spirit, bemoaning yet another breakup with a girlfriend, and her demure friend Marin, who desperately needs to loosen up. In search of a fresh start, the two embark on an impromptu road trip to Tallahassee, but things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of innocent criminals along the way.
So we missed this when it came out. We wanted to get to it, but I was out of town. You were out of town. We couldn't get to it. And we finally got to it because it's on Paramount, right? That's where we saw it.
Peacock,
whatever.
It's all about your peacock, cock. I want to see your peacock, cock.
And
no Katy Perry.
I know Katy Perry is. I just don't really. Anyway.
Tell the 28 viewers we have right now. How much you don't like Katy Perry?
I don't dislike Katy Perry. I just have no feel. Like, I'm pretty ambivalent, you know?
I know you. I'm just kidding. He's more of a sad guy. Anyway, continue.
So this movie had felt like it was from the 80s, 80s, right?
80, like, it's from 1999 was when this movie was supposed to be
taking place. Cause it's,
yep.
But Neil, what did you think of this movie?
Man, these R-rated comedies are knocking out of the fucking park lately.
This is very funny.
I feel like, yeah, this is like a super bad. I feel like I could throw this on anytime in the background and, you know, every now and pay attention to it every now and then, get a laugh out of it and stuff like that. First, I mean, snort and laugh. And me and my wife sat down and watched this and we were just laughing our asses off the entire movie. These two just worked great together.
There's so much chemistry between Margaret and Geraldine in this one. Like I felt like, yeah, I mean, it was an odd couple type thing. You know, you have the straight person, the person who's fucking wild, right? But yeah. But it worked, man. This movie was really funny. Like, it felt like a Coen Brothers movie, but like even sillier than that. You know what I mean? Like, I know he directed it, but it's just, it was a funny movie. This is a comedy. You know, like
it's a comedy, it's a laughter, man, it's like there's parts of this movie I want to discuss more, but it gives away the surprise of it, like what's in the suitcase, mm-hmm. What's in the hat box, what's in, you know, like stuff like that. But we can talk about this is LGBT plus, like,
yeah,
like to the core.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're a hater of anything that you're going to dislike this, I'm sure if I go read reviews on this movie, it'll be about people just bitching about all the lesbian.
Trisha Cook is a queer and the wife of Ethan Coen. So we have a little bit of that going on. I do want to mention one of the things that me and Leo love are road trip comedies. And this is one of them. This is a road trip comedy. Yeah, all the
this
way.
Is another road trip comedy. We just watched one yesterday, I believe it was, for the Panic Fest episode,
Off Ramp,
which is about juggalos, and that one was good. By any means, yeah, go check out the Panic Fest 2024 podcast episode. So it'll be coming up in the next week. But anyway, literally, this was like a road trip movie, and it was the best of them. Like, the butter churn. I don't even know what the butter churn is, but now I looked up to see if it was real. I mean, these two girls played off of each other. Like, their hysterics are great. And then Beanie, when she's in there, if you guys don't know, she hates this because it's kind of how she got in the back door of acting, but she is the younger sister of good old Jonah Hill.
She's super funny. This movie is super funny. I loved Colin Domingo in this. I loved even Pedro's short part in this. It's a silly movie, but it's very, very fun. You know?
It's very fun. Like, you got Pedro, you got Matt that shows up. And, I mean, it's wrong one.
Different movie.
Wrong. It's a serious movie that we're talking about later. But this is one of those movies that just makes you feel good. You get a good laugh. It's a good, you know, by any means, a good stoner movie, I guess. Get high.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Get high and fucking watch a movie with a bunch of dildos in it, you know?
So the thing is about this movie, like Neil said, if you're against LGBTQ, one, stop listening to the show. We don't want you as fans.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah,
bye.
But I don't know what your reviews are reading, if you're on Stormfront or whatever. What you're reading reviews of people, most people do reviews of this. I mean, if you're reading real reviews, but if you're reading like actual like publicized reviews, most people aren't going to shit on the gay community. But this movie is funny. It's fun. I really enjoyed it. I laughed a lot, and I smiled quite a bit through this movie. So, I'm sorry we missed it. I would like to see this in theater with me, a full theater with people that, you know.
Yeah, that would have enjoyed it. And, I mean, I don't know if my part of the world would have showed it. I don't know if they even would have showed it in the theater here.
It was in your theater. I know it was.
Okay, sure.
We have Ethan Coen.
I have no faith in this state. What the fuck ever. But anyway, we'll just continue on to that conversation on another day. So, Chris, what do you get? What's your score on this one?
I'm scoring this one's a 4. I really liked it.
Yeah, 4 with me too.
You don't see a whole lot of shit like this.
No. And it was fun, and it was unforgiving. I love the unforgiving part of it. It just like, hey, this is the fuck what we are.
Yeah.
Have a good time, or if not, get the fuck out.
And so, yeah, I really liked it. I also really like these actors, Margaret Qual and Geraldine. Fucking fantastic, dude. Like, I want to see them in every movie for now. Honestly, every movie.
I've been seeing Geraldine for like with Miracle Workers constantly,
and then she was
in Cock Blockers. What else was she in?
She was in the movies. Cat Person movie. Cat Person.
Oh yeah,
Bad Education,
Big Bad World.
Yeah, yeah, dude. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
I mean, she's been in like a lot of thing, she's been in just like a. Funny stuff. Like maybe it's just because I keep on seeing her.
You know, she's me in Thunderbolts. Constantly. She's me in Thunderbolts. You know that?
Oh yeah, I did not even see that.
Yeah.
Oh, upcoming. That's why I don't have it. Ooh.
But the chemistry between Jamie and Marion, palpable, really funny. I really enjoyed this movie. I think if you guys want to give it a chance, it's less than. It's an hour and 24 minutes, so it's less than an hour. It's the perfect perfect length for a comedy is this movie. Like, I know the past couple of years we've been seeing these movies that are fucking 2 hour and a half hours long. This is the perfect length for a movie and for a comedy at the very least. And Driveway Dolls, it's available on Peacock. I think if you can download Peacock for free, even if you don't have an account. So Yeah, you guys check this out. You won't regret it if you're like me and Neil. I gave it 4. You get a what?
I gave it 4 as well. Okay. I thought this was great. I mean, this is one of those movies that you can just watch over and over and over again until the point where you just can't stop watching it, and you want to watch it over and over and over.
I'm on RottenTomatoes.com right now. What is the critic score for Driveway Dolls? I'm sorry, no, what's audience score for Driveway Dolls?
Audience score has definitely got to be in the 80s. I'm going to go 86% on that one.
36%.
What the is going on in this
film? I know. Here's the audience consistency. It says, Driveway Dolls has some laughs, but they're too far, few and far in between. Get most viewers entertained during the remaining stretches to make up the rest of the movie. Go fuck yourself. What is the critic score for Driveway Dolls?
72%.
63. Still fresh, but barely.
Yeah, okay.
Christensen says, the appealing odd couple chemistry between Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan has Driveway Dolls' power passes overly familiar screenplay and erratic execution. I think Mina will like this more than that. He'll read a bad review and a good review. Here is a review from Christine O'Meyer of Film Week, NPR Los Angeles, says, it's a mixed bag of some very familiar stuff, like a watered-down Grace Tiz collection. Fuck you. And here's a good review from Tim Brereton of Alternate Ending. It says, it's easy to call this just a lark, but this is no lark. Really, it's rare and wonderful for a lark to be this self-assured and swaggering. We like this movie. You and I.
But
this movie.
I liked it. It was a good movie. Whatever. Fuck them. This is a great, funny movie. If I had my DVD collection still to this day, I would definitely, this would be one that I would purchase inside my DVD collection.
Are you ready to get the news?
I'm ready. You ready?
I heard you typing over there, so let's do this.
This is the Movies Don't Suck and Some of Them News. I'm going to say a bunch of stuff to Chris because he's illiterate because he was raised in Texas.
Hold on. I mean, I'm pretty literate. I'm reading right now. I've read like 10 books in the last 6 months, so I'm reading stuff.
I don't even know what a book is anymore.
All right, man.
All right, the most important news everybody wants to hear. Let's get this one done and out of the way. Pamela Anderson has joined the Naked Gun reboot with Liam Neeson. That's the most important.
Who cares, man? I don't think we need to remake it. But do we need to remake the Naked Gun at all? Do we need to? I don't fucking think we need to.
Did we need to remake Ocean's 11? Did we remake Dune? Did we remake Did we have to remake Batman fucking every 5 years? Do we have to remake? I mean, come on.
We need to remake Dune, and I'm glad they did.
But why can't we do comedies, too? Why can't we have some comedy?
Because comedies...
We need comedy.
Comedy is a reflection of a time and place, and I guess, man, whatever. Like whatever, man.
It's Liam Neeson... It's Liam Neeson going to be playing the role of the...
I do like Liam Neeson playing comedic roles. He doesn't do that often enough, but okay. Whatever. Let's do it.
But that's not the big news. The big news is Quentin Tarantino has confirmed the movie critic is not his final film. He will be apparently choose a different project for his final film. The movie critic will not be it. This is hardly the first time the critic, Quentin Tarantino, has changed his mind about a project. So who knows if this is actually true. But a film was supposed to follow a film critic for a porno rag and star Brad Pitt. And now that movie is on hold.
Well, I mean, he says it's going to be his final film, but I think he's going to fall back on that promise too. You know? I think he said Kill Bill was going to be a final. The Kill Bill thing was going to be his final movie. And then we had two more since then, and they both been great. So.
I don't know.
You have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though, right? I mean, that's a great movie. But yeah. All right, Neil. What's the next thing you
need? I get there's a lot of things that I want to say about that. And at the same time.
You got to stop doing that. You got to stop stalling for time because you're trying to pull stuff up. Just Just get in, man. What's the next story?
Terrifier 3 cast frequent Rob Zombie collaborator as Santa Claus in the first images release of the Terrifier 3. Santa Claus is coming to town in Terrifier 3 and will be portrayed by a genre veteran. That's right. Daniel Roebeck joins the Terrifier 3 as Santa Claus, bringing a new twist to the direction. Damien Lillian's gore-filled trequel. Roebeck's collaboration with director Rob Zombie has added credibility to his role. If you don't know, he is the guy that usually plays, I believe he's the one that plays, why can't I think of his name right now? Man, why'd you do this to me?
I didn't do anything to you. Well, you're talking
to
me.
You know what you did.
You're talking to me. I'm just listening.
I can't even figure out who it was originally. But yeah, he's been in several Rob Zombie's movies. But anyway, he's going to be added in the Terrifier 3 area. Man, I just suck at this right now. I'm just going to have to kill myself and be done. All right. Deadpool is creating his own popcorn bucket for the theater for Deadpool and Wolverine. Here's one photo of the design.
It's got to be. I mean, why wouldn't it be? We want to fuck it. So he's going to let's fuck
it. I'm just kidding. It's just the actual design.
That's just as bad.
All right, there it is. I know. It looks like they're giving you head.
I know.
That's if you don't know, it's a big wide open. It's a big wide open popcorn mouth that is very, very Man, here's a piece of news that all the nerds of the world is going to celebrate. Paramount is setting the stage for the biggest crossover in cinema history. It was reported at CinemaCon this past weekend. The Transformers and G.I. Joe are going to come together. The guy who played Snake Eyes, Henry Golding, in the Snake Eyes movie, is going to be a part of it. He's already signed up. So we're going to have Transformers with G.I. Joe, where they're going to help each other get against the Decepticons and Cobra, I guess.
Cool, man. I mean, yeah.
How are you not freaking out over that?
I don't know, man. Like, I saw the most recent Transformers movie, and I was pretty underwhelmed. And I mean, it's cool, I guess.
Will Smith surprised Coachella this past weekend by showing up in his Men in Black performance with Jay Palavan and Alien Theatrics. So that means Will Smith not only goes up on stage in a suit to smack people in the face, he now dances with aliens again.
Do you think that maybe he's maybe teasing his return to the Men in Black the series? I mean, we got Bad Boys, you know, 4 coming out. I don't know.
I have no idea. He definitely has to be. He has to do something because, like, at this point, his career is kind of dead. I mean,
Bad Boys, right? Bad Boys coming out looks good. Looks good. Bad Boys looks good.
I'm great.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. All right, man. He said.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it because I'm sure he smacked Martin Lawrence to fucking make the movie with him. He's like, get out of your chair.
All right.
Don't you talk to my wife that way. Anyway. Monk creator has hinted that there are more mysteries coming about and that it is not done. Despite being titled Mr. Monk's last case, Tony Schwal has hinted as further adventures for Adrian Monk. The success of the Union film has opened the door for an exciting new narrative for Monk's career.
I think Tony Shalhoub will love playing Monk. So any chance he gets, it's like he'll take it. Just like Harrison Ford loved playing Indy. I think Tony Shalhoub just pulled his boy Monk. So, yeah, I'm doing, man. I think if that it's a good show, you know?
Man, I just want to, I just love when people go back to characters they're so good at,
Characters that love being, Harrison Ford didn't like being Han Solo. As much as happy to see him there, I knew he didn't like doing it. But when you get to see actors go back to be care they love, there's just something so infectious about it. So, yeah.
Right. All right. Talking about good old Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves has joined Sonic the Hedgehog 3 as one of the most iconic members of the Sonic family. Keanu Reeves is now Shadow in the Sonic Hedgehog.
I don't think people who played anything like Shadow's kind of a minor character, like in the whole thing. Like, I mean, since if we're talking
about, he's like a big part of it after Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I know, but
he's in every game after Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I know, but everyone knows Sonic the Hedgehog 1, 2, 3, and then after Sonic & Knuckles, everyone knows Sonic & Knuckles. But after that,
Shadow has his own games.
Like, but I love Keanu Reeves, and I know I'll see him do anything. So good for.
Hey, do you like the Roadrunner and Coyote?
Dude, is that they're bringing it back? Are we gonna get the movie now?
Warner Brothers reportedly has not decided the fate of Coyote versus Acme.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Good news for fans of the Coyote vs. Acme. Warner Brothers confirms the movie is not completely shelved, giving hope for its release despite rumors of the movie being a potential write-off. New reports suggest that the fate of Coyote vs. Acme is still undecided.
Neil, you and I think we love, those are our favorite parts of the Looney Tunes, where the running Coyote, right? That was your favorite thing about
it. Oh, dude, when he died, like, every single... Yeah,
it was hilarious.
He died every 3 seconds, yeah, and he still is alive.
It was super funny, sense. Yeah. But he went back.
Go ahead. I seriously, like Acme, like he'd send off to Acme, and then like Acme gave him something, and it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I love the whole concept of the entire movie itself.
Yeah.
I just, it's one of those movies that I hope it goes through. I want to see John Cena. I want to see who else is it? Will Forte's in it. Eric Bana's in it. You know, like I want to see it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington and Spike Lee are starting a movie together over at A24 called High and Low, which is a remake by Akira Kurosawa, it's the English reinterpretation of Akira Kurosawa's High and Low, marks the start of a principal photography. I mean, Denzel Washington, Spike Lee, what more are you going to say?
A24 is putting this out?
A24 is putting this out.
Well, man, we'll see seeing it. I mean, like as much as people are going to think I'm trying to suck A24's dick, they're the movies they put out that no one else will. And thank Christ they're still there. You know, like, we won't see movies that they put out movies that no one else will, and that's why they exist. So.
That's why you exist.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. What's next? You go.
You go.
You go. Talking about A24, I'll go ahead and get this one out of the way since we were talking about A24. Mm-hmm. Alex Garland's dystopia film, Civil War, is now the highest grossing A24 film. After one weekend, it's the highest grossing A24 film of all time.
Do we want to talk about, we'll talk about more about this movie when we get to it.
I have thoughts.
But
it is the biggest opening ever. On the back of its budget of being $50 million, the move on opening day movie made the $25.7 million day.
It'll probably mean
half their budget back.
Yeah, it'll definitely make its wing. So,
Yeah. Let's see. I don't care about that. Ready or Not 2 is going to be an absolutely fucking banger. Is what they said by reading the script. Director Tyler Gillette and Matt Pendleton Oflin hint as a potential Ready or Not sequel with an exciting script in place. The duo expressed enthusiasm for that. The script is an absolute fucking banger of a movie. I love movie mysteries like this. Like, me and Chris are a big fan of, like, Murder on the Orient.
Is Samara Weaving coming back for this one?
Dude, probably, and she signed up, it says.
Okay, well, I like that. I like the movie. I mean, we saw Abigail's coming out this weekend, which is kind of like a sort of house trap thing. We'll see. But yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese's next movie has been revealed. God, also damn, co-starring already? Jennifer Lawrence going to be in it as well. It is roughly Frank Sinatra biopic. It's Scorsese planning to shoot two films back to back, with Life of Jesus being the first, the other one being Frank Sinatra's biopic
that
movie.
Dude starring, that dude will not die. He's so old, but he's doing movies constantly because he's in the shadow before he passes. Dude.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Spielberg is returning to a genre he hasn't done in a while. That's right. He's coming back to the sci-fi with a new original UFO movie. Ooh. He still is returning to sci-fi with original UFO movie written by David Coppi. Spielberg's early sci-fi films like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T. So he's departing from the drama and going back to the sci-fi.
Well, I mean, I fucking love the Encounters. Is really shit. So I'm looking forward to this, man. Like I love the sci-fi he says. Always sort of wonder that he always brings his movie sort of like magic, and I'm excited for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I man, anytime you can get those guys in a room, like Steven Spielberg is a genius. He's a genius. And what name a sci-fi movie he did that wasn't good. Like he did what? Cocoon? Wasn't Cocoon him too?
I don't think Cocoon was him. But I think
Cocoon was him.
AI was him. The one with not him. But yeah, man. Like I love Steven Spielberg and I'll watch anything he does. You know,
man, was he not the one that did Cocoon? I'm kind of pissed if he's not the one that did Cocoon.
Why? You're thinking really that's a Spielberg film?
I always thought that was a Spielberg film. That is a Ron Howard film. I'm sorry. That's a better director.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I know. Some of the cast people from Barbie and D&D are now in a movie called Now You See Me 3, adding to the Tim.
Hold on. So now is this the one with the Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen the other two, but I guess I have to see them now if we're going to see.
No, you got to go see those. Those are some Ocean 11 like motherfucking movies, dude. Yeah, I love those. It's one of my go tos to fall asleep. Actually, I think I fell asleep to Now You See Me last night. Being a fact, Now You See Me 3 confirms the including Ariana Greenbelt, Justice Smith, and Dominic Sessa are now in undisclosed roles. The entire cast has signed on to be part of the movie.
I mean, it's a series, I guess. I just don't know about it. Like,
dude, they're good, dude. Oh, Mark Ruffalo. Oh, Mark Ruffalo is a great detective in it. Oh, he's the one chasing the magicians.
I get you.
Yeah. Oh, dude. And his story gets told. Morgan Freeman's in it. I can't believe you haven't seen this. Yeah. Michael Caine? Like, really, Michael dude? Caine's what the fuck's wrong with you?
All right, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's a good freaking movie. 28 Years Later trilogy enlists the Marvels director, Nia DaCosta, will be the director for the 28 and Years
Later. I think later Alex Garland wrote it, too. I think you wrote this. And yeah. I'm excited for it.
Alex Garland wrote the script of the trilogy, drawing inspiration from unlikely sources like Kes. Okay. And last but not least, James Gunn finally reveals who Ma and Pa Kent from good old Kansas City area is going to be.
Yeah.
And that is going to be Neva Howell and Brute Taylor Vince are going to be Ma and Pa Kent.
Have they started photography in this movie yet?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we don't know who Superman is yet. They're keeping that a secret still, huh?
No, we've talked about it.
Oh, fuck. I forget who it is.
Jesus. I can't remember his name, but give me 2 seconds. I got an image of him right here.
Oh, yeah. Neil's
you pull up his name on your computer, and I'll pull up the image on my computer. How about that?
All right, fine. Fine.
David Cornesweat. There it is.
Okay. David Cornesweat.
And that's his name.
Oh, he's good looking. He works at. Ooh, excuse me. Yeah, that works for Superman, right?
I know, right? And Chris.
Mm-hmm. Is that it? Is that the news?
That's the news. That is the Movies Don't Suck and Some News, where I tell Chris stuff because he doesn't like me, so I like to talk a lot and talk his ear off and keep on talking over and 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 over.
Civil War.
What are we talking about next?
Civil War, directed by Alex Garland. Alex Garland has directed such things as Ex Machina, Ex Machina, Men, which was a miss for us. What are you, fuck, hold on. I had that stuff pulled up. I know he does a bunch of shit, man. Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men. He's also a great writer. He's written the trilogy for he's written 20 Days Later, The Beach, Sunshine, Dread. We both love Dread. And now he's back with his next visionary film, Civil War. This stars Kirsten Dunst as Lee.
You're an artist, man. Your job is to break through barriers.
Also, Wagner Moura plays Joel.
Hey. Out of interest.
Kaylee Spaney plays Jesse.
I don't go imagining things.
Nick Offerman plays the president in this one.
Everybody stuff up with carbs and meats.
This is Jefferson White plays Dave. Nelson Lee plays Tony. Stephen McKinley Henderson, who's in everything nowadays, plays Sammy. And this also stars Jesse Plemons. It's kind of an unnamed character in this one.
Any plans for this evening?
Neil, why don't you go read the story on for Civil War?
With many people fearing the actions of superheroes, the government decides to push the different hero. It's Civil War.
This is Civil War 2024. To my
Alex Garland. I'm sorry. My bad. IMDb took me to the wrong place. I don't know. A journey across a dystopian future America, following a team of military and journalists as they race against time to reach DC before rebel factions descend upon the White House.
So this movie I was super excited for. It's probably been of all the movies I've seen this year, including shit that's coming out. This was my most anticipated movie ever since I saw the poster for it.
Right.
But the thing that's come out since this one, I want to say right up front, this is pretty neutral politically. There's no one way or the other, but both sides of the aisle have claimed this movie as theirs, which blows my fucking mind. Like, leftists has claimed it, right has claimed it, and this is a pretty neutral movie. There's no political bent into it whatsoever. Like,
now, I'm gonna say something slightly slightly political, but how the fuck? Why would you want to claim this movie at all?
Yeah.
Like, no matter who it is, because like it kind of gives you like a person. So the whole point, the whole thing of Civil War is that the president decides that two terms wasn't enough. He's just going to go ahead and stay in a third term.
They don't exactly say why there was a secession, why there was a civil war. That's the point of the movie. Because you're not supposed to know. This is a background for a bigger story, for the story about a very personal story dealing with the...
It's literally about the press part. It doesn't even really explain, except for more than that, that he closed down the FBI... And that he's three-term president.
And we have the three other things: the Western Alliance, we have the Florida people, and then like the middle of America. But a lot of people were really shitty or pissed off about it, shit, because they don't explain those things. And I don't think
people leave.
Yeah, well, fuck that, dude. Like that's not the movie's about. Like this is a background for the story. So the Wheel of States, Florida Alliance, Second Republic, Texas, Western Forces, and Republic of California. But in the movie, the Republican California teamed up, it has a political message, but not overtly one side or the other. It's just there. It's part of the movie. But, and so people are pissed. Some people were pissed that it doesn't take a side but that's not
the point. That's not the point of the movie.
Yeah. By the way, I want to mention, I really fucking like this movie. I really like it a lot. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Yeah, this is a good movie. It was a good time. Everything was fun. There's a lot of good, fun moments in it. Nothing better than seeing someone get their head blown off because they're not from America.
This movie is unsettling. It's violent.
I don't mean that real. That's just a funny statement. By any means. This was really disturbing fucking film. I'm not joking. It's not disturbing like Requiem for a Dream disturbing.
No.
It's not like that. It's not that messy or anything like that. It's the fact of seeing civilization and how quickly it breaks down after, like, it broke down, like, what is it? Like, this was only, like, 3 months in or something?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is a couple years in, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, was it a couple years in?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was only, like, 3 months in.
So there is something to say about what would happen if America collapsed. There'd be a ripple effect where it's not, like, other countries will still be fucked up. It's like, for example, when we had those banks fail in 2008, the reason that we're bailed out is because if those banks failed, then the fucking economy across the world fails. That's not, but that's neither here nor there. We're talking about this movie, and we're talking about Kirsten Dunst, we're talking about Wagner Moura, and we're talking about Kaylee Spani and Steve McKinley Henderson. We were talking about this movie and how it made us feel, and I really liked this movie. I thought it was disturbing, but I thought it was interesting at the very least. I people had problems with it. It's controversial somehow. Like, Alex Garland did his best to make this not controversial, but people are still claiming it. It's fucking weird to me, you know?
Yeah. I don't know why anybody wanted to claim this movie whatsoever, like, left, right, whatever. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the actual movie itself. Okay. One thing is this. Kirsten Dunst. Mm-hmm. Did not show any emotion 90% of this movie. She was completely, like, it just, like, every emotion has been sucked out of her.
From being a war photographer.
Being a war photographer. And it was amazing. I was like, man, I feel the cold-hearted bitch of her, like, in this movie. Like, I 100% feel what, like, her anger towards the world. I felt it because of the situation and how it all felt.
And Kaylee Spani.
The new girl in the movie, or I'm not saying she's the new press person. Jessie, played by Kaylee, was ridiculously awesome because she was so naive.
She
was well, like, as yeah, as well as Kristen played, I Have No Feelings. She played naive that well.
Yeah, Wagner Moura was great. I mean, I could see Pedro Pascal in that role, but whatever. He played Joel, and he was great too, man. Like, I didn't expect that out of him. Steve McKinley Henderson, I loved him. You don't see him enough in things, really.
Right.
But I want to mention the sound design of this movie. This deserves, like, this will be a nominee for Oscar. Because the gunshots in this thing, when they came out, dude, it was fucking, it just fucking got at you. I saw this in theater, a full theater, and, like, they got me a few jump scares with this thing. But the sound of this is incredible. It really is. It felt like it puts you in that area that's terrifying, really. Like, the whole thing. And, man,
Dude, it was the movie itself is literally just about people and PTSD and going through the actions of what it's like to be in a war like this that is terrifying and ridiculous. It's not about whose side you're on or anything like that. It's not about if you believe in this guy or that guy or believe in this person's side or anything like that. This is just the terrifying belief of what war is. And I have to say this and I have to get it off my chest. Chris, what's your score?
No, we're not done with this yet. Are you kidding me? Yes. Okay, you're good. I'm glad you're me because we're not done talking about this movie, dude. You want to get through this, but I want to mention one. Jesse Plemons' scene, probably the best part of the movie to me. It was the most harrowing part, and I want to talk about, I just want to mention the ending of this. It was insane. Like, they spent the $50 million amount and they came up with something that impactful. You know?
Yeah.
I know Neil's trying to
get, like, this is like literally the conflict of, like, okay, so Jesse Blemons, Mr. Chris's favorite character in the world, was like a very wide awake version of what I think, like, any redneck American, I don't know, say redneck, any gun toting American would actually act like during something like this. Like, cause he was just sitting there and he's like,
he was terrifying. Bam. He was terrifying. He was
terrifying.
Yeah. And, like, we all know that Jesse Plemons can play a great villain. And he does so in this one, like you guys remember him from Breaking Bad. In this one, he's just, it's, they pick.
It was,
And he
so terrifying.
Yeah, he was terrifying. And this movie, dude, all around this movie fucked me up in a good way. I really like this movie. I know people that hate this. This is pretty divisive. But my score for this is a 4.4 on this one.
That is the problem I had with Yesterday, and this is why I was like, man, I can't get that movie that much of a higher number because of how much I like this movie as well. This movie is great. It is a thinker. It is something that will teach people, I think, in the future generations. I give this a 4.7. Mm. I'm gonna go higher than you,
fuck
bro.
I'm going 4.5 on this one.
Going up higher. Oh, you're right, but I'm going 4.7, so fuck you. Right. This is going to be hard for me not to have this in my top five at the end of the year.
It's my top three right now, for sure. Like, my top three right now are Dune, yeah, Civil War.
I mean, right now it's my top three, but, Deadpool and Wolverine's definitely going to take on this
spot. I hope so, man.
Chris! Deadpool and Wolverine is definitely.
I know, but Neil, you have this thing. Like, I remember when Justice League came out, and you're like, it's pretty good. And now you can admit that Justice League that came out wasn't that good. I know, like, Zack Snyder's. I'm not talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League, but the original one's not that good, right? You don't like it that much. But I remember you said it was awesome when it came out, so you need time to calm down.
No, I never said it was awesome. I didn't like it.
You didn't see that right away, though.
I don't think we reviewed Justice League.
I was friends with you at that point when it came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I was going with the story.
Okay, all right.
Because they made their characters actually believable, unlike people like Christopher Nolan that doesn't. Anyway.
Civil War, I love Alex Garland. This movie, it gave me what I wanted from it. And a lot of people, there's some shit on it. People don't like it, whatever. This movie, it's scary. It's really a horror film. If you want to look at it, it's a horror film, but it has something to say. And even if it's loud and clear what he's trying to say, I like this movie a lot. It was masterfully made. It's a masterfully made movie. It's a masterclass in filmmaking. And I talked about it a little bit on
March. I'm sure it's going to get a lot of awards at the end of the year. I mean, by any means, this is going to be one that's going to be on the list.
All right, man. You gave it 4.7. You gave it 4.5. What I'm gonna run to Meltzer.com. What is the audience score for Civil War by Alex Garland?
It has to be 89% at least.
77%. But again,
they need to blow me.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, don't say stuff. Don't say stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, that sucks.
Okay, what's the credit score for Civil War?
That has to be a 91%.
It is certified fresh at 82%.
And what is their consensus?
Critics' consensus is tough and unsettling by design. Civil War is a gripping close-up look at the violent uncertainty of a nation in crisis. I'm going to read you a good review and a bad review because that's what we fucking do here. This is a bad review by Hillary White of Sunday Independent. She says, Dunst, Offerman, and McKinley Henderson all put their back into it, and there's some real firepower in the finale. But keeping in his tail's background arm's length, Garland as inadvertently lets his heart there too. Again, I think she missed the point of it. And this is from Harry Gurin. He says, this teeth-clenching thriller is superbly paced, feels mercilessly realistic, and sees Kirsten Dunst and her co-stars doing some of the best work of careers when America in the near future takes its last gasp. I love this movie. And people
I do too. It was a great movie, and it's one of those movies that if you haven't seen it, and I don't care what a critic says or anything. I guess we're considered consensus. Literally, guys, go see this movie. This is a banger of a movie. Like, this is going to be one of them that everybody around the water hole is going to be talking about.
Yeah, and it's and if you think it's political, it's not. It's not. Alex is. Due diligence to stay right down the middle and just have that stuff as part of the setting. And so it just brings, it's personal at the same time. It's national. It's people talking about this movie. So guys, go see Civil War. But I know Neil's trying to get out of here, so I guess that's it. I'll go ahead and
dude, don't say that on the podcast, you dick. I guess Chris needs to go take a shit, so we need to. You know, I'm not gonna say that. Like, come on.
I know.
Anyway, leave all that in. Okay. Chris, tell them where they can find us.
Okay, this is an early one. Okay, you can find us online, moviesdontsuck.net. We're on w2net.com. That's W number two is in moviesnet.com. You can find us there, along with a bunch of other podcasts. We're on Instagram, MTS Podcast. We're on X, MTS Podcast. You can maybe watch us there now. We're on Patreon. Go to patreon.com. Trust me, don't suck. That's nearly the value menu. Item from Wendy's or something like that. You like Wendy's, right? Okay.
I love Wendy's.
Bonfire.com. Search me, don't suck. And something you'll find shirts with our logo on it, our faces on it. If you're into seeing our ugly mugs all the time. And we're also everywhere you find podcasts, everywhere you find podcasts, find music on Suck and Some They Do. Neil, what do you do for small businesses?
You got a small business, let us know. We'll be more than happy to promote them right here on Movies Don't Suck and Some That Do. We'll give your information to our thousands of listeners, our millions of followers. We want to help you out free of charge. Message us, email us, get it tattooed on your head, and send a picture of it to Chris. Whatever you need to do, we will be more than happy to help your local business out right here.
What would you do if someone sent us a picture of their head and it was tattooed with our logo on it?
Invite them to stay the night?
I don't know, man. It'd be...
Go have a beer with them and see what their problem is? I have no idea.
All right, man.
All right, Chris, let's get out of here. That's another episode of the Movie Suck and Something to Do. My name's Neil.
And I'm Chris.
And remember, guys, no matter how hard it is to get some drive-away dolls in your life, don't get mad, don't get angry, or you could cause a literal civil war. Have a good night.